Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Good to see each of you here this morning. Certainly appreciate the opportunity we have from our God to be able to not only assemble together, but to worship without fear of any sort of interference or disruption. And we're thankful for our ability to encourage each other, to praise God together, and to be able to stir each other up to love and to good works. A few weeks ago, I talked about patience. And we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, in which the Lord says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all." Sometimes I'm afraid we think of that word patient as inactivity, as just sort of waiting around. But I think if you look at this text, you see that it's not a text that encourages just sitting still, doing nothing, biding your time and twiddling your thumbs. In fact, it is full from beginning to end with opportunity and responsibility that we have one towards another. This patience that is to be exhibited by us as brethren is to be exhibited as we warn, as we comfort, and as we uphold. If we think about God's patience, and we think about His patience towards us as individuals or collectively as a congregation or towards the nation in which we live, we understand that God is not sitting by waiting without doing. In fact, if we understand God through His Word at all and the idea that He is in fact upholding and holding together everything and everyone, we understand that He is very active. And through the process and by His Word, He in fact is accomplishing a lot of things while He is demonstrating His patience towards us. For it's through His Word and through His brethren that we are warned, that we are comforted, that we are upheld, that we are stirred up, that we are engaging in this life. And so I think we would do a disservice to the Word and to the concept of patience to somehow think that it's inactivity, that it's simply waiting by. Now, we'll have another discussion at another time about how long God's patience will be and how long we should be long-suffering with one another. But let's think and understand that the idea of discipleship is not about sitting by and letting the world just pass and waiting without doing. Now, sometimes we understand that simply sitting still when we are urged by the forces and circumstances around us to do something, anything, sometimes just sitting still and being patient with God, relying upon Him, trusting Him, praying to Him, communicating to Him and with Him through His Word, it looks like a lot of nothing to the outside. It might be that someone views us as being inactive. But the reality is that even that, sitting still with our God, communicating to Him through His Word and through prayer, waiting when we are being prodded to do by outside forces, there is there a matter of patience and endurance and even discipleship. So I'd like to talk with you a little bit more about patience or endurance as it's sometimes related in the Scriptures. Patience is a character trait. It's a quality of behavior and of attitude that is really expressed in our choices, in our words and in our actions, and maybe in the words we don't use, and maybe in the actions we don't take, because we recognize that this is not the appropriate time. This is not a wise time to say or to do the thing we might be inclined to do. But patience is something that is going to require effort on our part of all of us. Patience is not like eye color or hair color. It's not just you have it or you don't, or some are naturally disposed. And maybe there's some of that. But the reality is patience, as we're presented in the Scriptures, is something that we are called upon, expected to, in fact, develop. It is a quality of behavior and of attitude that we are called upon to invest in, and to choose, and to practice. And as such, it's something that's going to require a part of us. And so let's think about the need for patience. We all need it. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want us to notice what the Hebrews writer says during a discussion about facing difficulties, about facing the sufferings of discipleship and of life upon the earth as we anticipate heaven afterward. You know, we sang songs today that called us heavenward, that calls us to think about the heavenly sunlight, about our enduring efforts upon this earth in daily discipleship. And that's what the Hebrews writer is saying here in 10:36. For you have need of endurance or patience, so that, or with this end in mind, that you have, after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. That patience or endurance is the idea of active discipline and discipleship. He says there is something that is accomplished when we have this quality about us. Doing the will of God with endurance is what allows us to one day receive that promise of God. And that word endurance in the New King James is variously translated as patience in the King James. But if you think about the kind of world in which we live and the kind of atmosphere in which we operate and the kind of people that we are around and the way sometimes we behave, we would understand that patience is something that we really need every day. The determination to see this day through and to the very best of our ability is something we must have if we want that promise. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, look there with me please, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'd like to look with you there at 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. The apostle says, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these great and exceeding promises, he says, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance or patience, and to perseverance godliness. You know, in order to be partakers of this divine nature, to have qualities that are of the divine and less like this world, we need to have these qualities. We need to add to our faith these aspects, and one of them is this patience. So what is it? What is patience? Well, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. The word itself can mean to bear up under or to endure. To bear up under, that's not a passive word. That's not the kind of word that gives me an idea of sitting still and not doing, but instead of being able to shoulder the burden and able to act with strength, whether of my own or of someone else's. Or you think about that idea of to endure. It means to be able to go from one point in your life to the next, or even further beyond that, despite the obstacles, despite the turbulence, and despite the various things that come in the way. This is about activity, no matter the circumstance that we find ourselves in. It's a matter of confidence and trust in God and in His Word as something that does, in fact, direct us, hold hope for us, and provide for us. And the Lord tells us what it takes to make it in this world as He is speaking to us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. He says of His disciples, "You will be hated for my name's sake." See, there is an obstacle. There is something that's going to come upon us and confront us as disciples of Jesus Christ. He says, all of you will be hated for my name's sake. But notice what he says we ought to recognize. He who endures to the end will be saved. And so he says, you just need to keep on. You need to press on in the face of this obstacle, in the face of this difficulty, the turbulence. Just keep going. Endure to the end. And again, with this idea in mind of discipleship, he says that this confrontation that we're going to face and must endure through, he says it's going to come because we stand for his name's sake. There is wrapped up and involved in all of this discipleship, obedience, active faith. And so patience is something that we need. To bear up under or to endure is what we have need of in order to receive the promise, to be saved, as Jesus says here. And wouldn't you agree that patience is something that we need at all times in all aspects of our lives? Do you sometimes need patience with your spouse? Do you sometimes need patience with the circumstance you're in? Do you sometimes need patience with your children or your grandchildren? How about at work? How about your neighbors? How about the things that you're hearing about and seeing in this world, in this community, or in the broader world at large? What about when we pay our taxes or when we have bills coming due? Do we have to be patient with those things and recognize the authority that's there and the responsibility we have to meet and to get through? What about in the face of persecution, opposition, those who hate us for the Lord's name's sake? Yes, of course we do. And so it's something that we must understand is ours, that we must adopt and accept. If you look over at 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, the idea that Jesus, through His Holy Spirit and through the pen of Peter, relates here is, you're going to face difficulty, right? As my disciples, Jesus said, you're going to face confrontation. There are going to be people who hate you for my name's sake. Well, Peter then here says, if you're going to suffer, it's better to suffer for the right reasons. He says, for what credit, verse 20 says, is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. And you notice he doesn't use the idea of if you suffer, but when you suffer. And so patience is something that we need in the very fiber of our being, in every aspect of our lives, to be godly men and women. To be lights in this dark world. To make it through to the end. To receive that promise and to be saved. So let's think about who has patience. Well, God, well, He has patience, doesn't He? He's the model of patience. He is the perfect patient being. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, after he has presented to us a whole host of people in chapter 11 who are examples for us to follow, he then in chapter 12 talks to us about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his example for us. And he says there in verse 2, we are to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now in verse 2, you see sort of a compression of time, don't you? You see Jesus who endures the cross, despises the shame, and then he's sitting down at the right hand. And I don't say this to discredit or to diminish the importance of the words and the point the Hebrews writer is making. But what I want us to think about for just a moment is that when Jesus endured the cross, that was a period of hours. It was a period of hours where each and every movement that Jesus made upon the cross hurt, made existing life difficult. to even breathe required that he demonstrate strength in his body so that he might raise up on hands and feet that were pierced so that he might take a sip of breath. And then what happens when he has to, because of exhaustion, relax those muscles, but feel the tearing force of those nails in the hands and in his feet? To then only need another breath, and to require the strength to pull up on his shoulders, which are tired after hours of holding that position by force, but by choice. Minute by minute, agonizing, pain, suffering, shame, people speaking hatefully, railing against him, shaking their fingers, wagging their heads, wagging their tongues. He endured the cross. That requires activity, doesn't it? Strength, doesn't it? Determination, doesn't it? A determination to do the will of the Father, despite the pain. You think about Christ enduring that. Could Christ work miracles? Without a doubt. He says he could call 10,000 angels and they would be there at his call. But you know, Jesus endured that cross not miraculously, but by the strength of his character and of his will. He was patient. He knew that he had to go through this period of time, moment by moment, agonizing moment, so that he could accomplish the purpose of God. And that's what we're called upon to do in our lives, to emulate our God in his patience. And of course, we're only touching a small portion of that patience with regards to God and his creation. And so let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and think about the Lord's continued patience. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord continues to be patient even though we as his people are imperfect. And the people who are outside of his body act in ways that seem contrary to us and certainly are contrary to God. Putting off, delaying, postponing, ignoring, rejecting, neglecting the opportunity to receive God and the relationship and the hope and the love. But in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. He is patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every sin that we commit is a hurt, an offense against the holy God of heaven. And yet he patiently endures so that we might have opportunity. And this gets to that other lesson we'll have another time, which is he won't wait forever. Because there comes an end to even God's patience. But we are not without warning. He's long-suffering. He wants us to be saved. And that's why Peter in verse 15 will say that we ought to consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. It allows us time to grow and to reach out and to hopefully bring others along with us as we serve God here and forever. But it's not just the quality of deity. It is a part of that divine nature. But it's exhibited in someone else. And one example of many is Paul. Paul had patience. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we think of Paul's character. And we think about all the things that he went through and dealt with because he was faithful to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. In much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses. And we know that that is just a small summary of the many things that this man endured for the cause of Christ. But he says much patience. He demonstrated that patience as he went day by day serving God in true, faithful discipleship. He says to Timothy, his son in the faith, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, "Therefore I endure all the things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." He says, "I'm patient so that you can enjoy salvation." There's value to our patience for others. There's value for ourselves in God's patience. So we ought to have that quality about ourselves. Paul instructed Timothy to have patience in his work. "Preach the word," he said in 2 Timothy 4:2. "Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and teaching." Why does he tell Timothy, the preacher, to have long suffering? Because when you're teaching people, you need patience. And I tell you, it helps to have people who are patient with the preacher too. Paul's prayer for the brethren are that God would strengthen him and strengthen them. In Colossians 1:11, he says that with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. He wants us to have these qualities about us because they are vital to our salvation, to our being in heaven when this life is over. And so we have to develop it. It's not, again, something that we're necessarily born with, but it is something that we can choose and can practice. Patience is difficult, though. And it's not going to come easy to maintain. But is it possible? Well, absolutely it is. Otherwise, God wouldn't say it's necessary and helpful for discipleship. And so you think about patience as a character trait that's developed just like any other quality. Over in Romans chapter 15, look at Romans 15, verse 4. And I want you to notice that patience comes through our learning of the Scriptures. Look at Romans 15, verse 4. The Apostle Paul writes by inspiration saying, "For whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Look at Romans 5. Think about patience coming as we endure difficulties, as we face the trials of this day, as we face that turbulence brought about because of our righteousness that really we have brought in from Christ. In Romans 5, verse 3, he says, "Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations," which is very counterintuitive. It's not necessary, it's not natural to glory in difficulty. But notice what he says. "We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope." You see, God says, there is good that comes from these difficulties. And that is really a part of this magnificence of God's plan of salvation for us and the deliverance of His Word, which calls us to endure even the difficult things as we face the enemies, as we face the trials and the different circumstances of life that are hard. He says, no, these things can produce something in your life that is valuable to you and to your salvation. Over in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, Mark has been teaching on Revelation and introducing us to the letters that Christ then presents and dictates to John as he writes them. And John identifies himself as a companion in patience. He says there in verse 9, "I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." This patience and that possessive of indicates that not only is John the recipient of Jesus' patience, but also that he is a participant in this which requires patience. Here he is, a faithful man of God, just trying to do the right thing and bring the gospel which saves to anyone and everyone who will listen and everyone who needs it. And yet he is put aside on an island by himself, apart from his brethren, and not able to do as he chooses and as he would like. You think that required patience of him? It certainly did. And he certainly is someone who receives the patience of Jesus as he, an imperfect man, serves God wherever it is that he might be, even as he's on that island of Patmos for the cause of Christ. Over in Matthew chapter 5, look there with me, please, as Jesus is presenting his Sermon on the Mount. As he is coming to the end of those Beatitudes, which speak to us of the qualities that God finds blessed, that God honors, that God recognizes and encourages us to possess. And he says of all things in there, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. God knows when we suffer. And he says, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. And he continues and expands upon this wonderful point by saying, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We suffer here because something greater is in store for us. We suffer now because there is an eternity awaiting us. Ours is the kingdom of heaven. And he continues and says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. How should you respond? Well, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The songs we sang just a few minutes ago together, as we joined our voices and our hearts together, call us to heaven and remind us of that heavenly sunlight which we look forward to and which we anticipate with great eagerness. And Jesus says, that's awaiting you. So go through the difficulty, endure it, be patient with it, because it works for your salvation, just like those who were before you. James then, in James chapter 1, expands upon what Jesus said. As you turn over to James chapter 1, understand that what James does in his epistle is oftentimes just, it is an expansion or a commentary, if you will, from the Holy Spirit on what Jesus began in his Sermon on the Mount. There's a lot of parallels there. And so he says in James 1 verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How can I do that? He said, well, you can know this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. Oh, the testing of our faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, which means it's not just something that you're going to possess and put in a pocket and say, I have it now. It is something that you're going to have to put into practice in this life. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If we treat patience as inactivity, as simply waiting around, as something that others possess that we cannot, then we will not become what we are called to become. We will not successfully endure this life. We will not receive that blessed promise of salvation. You can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How? By enduring the trials of this life. Patiently enduring. And let that patience have its perfect work. Allow it to work in your life and not lack anything. Because there's a reward. And we've already seen this throughout the texts that we've read. In almost all of them, there is a reference to an hint of or a direct pointing to the salvation, the reward, the hope. Look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Again, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven that the prophets spoke about and that Jesus and his prophets and apostles speak about as unshakable, as eternal, as powerful, as glorious, and as spiritual. That belongs not to man, but to God and those who are his. Does it involve men? Yes. As we join it and enter into it through obedience to the gospel. But it is a kingdom unlike any other that has ever been known or will ever be known on this earth. You see, after we've patiently endured this life for him, we look forward to a life with him. That's why Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. It's not a so-so reward. It's not just an okay reward. It's not just the old everyday reward. It is the great reward held in possession for us by God. Speaking to the saints in the first century who were about to face great suffering, the Lord says, by your patience, possess your souls. It means it needs to be a part of you and what you're doing. It's an investment. It's an engagement. It's an activity. There's just no doubt that we all need patience. We need to receive patience because we know we are imperfect people that do the wrong thing sometimes, that infuriate others, that sometimes we just have trouble and difficulty taking the next step. We need that patience. And we need to have patience. And our lives are truly blessed, and the lives of others are truly blessed when we possess and maintain patience each day. It's a character trait of our God, and it should be a character trait of us as we partake in that divine nature. It's not going to come easy. The Lord never said it would. But it's possible. And without it, we are incomplete. Without it, we will not enjoy the many blessings that God has waiting for us. Take out your songbook, please, and prepare to sing the song of encouragement. The song we're about to sing, and the point at this moment is, if you're not in Christ, God is patiently waiting for you. He is making an appeal to you through His Word and through my words to respond to God in obedience while He is patient. Because there's going to come a time, He promises, in which He will not be patient any longer. Life will come to an end on this earth, and you and I, we will all stand before God in judgment. Do the right thing. Don't tread on God's patience and treat it with anything but respect and immediate obedience. Won't you please come while we stand and sing the song selected?